If you're innovative, you're taking a lot of risk. And so you have to really understand the barometer of where your organization is and what they're willing to do. Now, the other side of that is you have to say, how can insurance, how can risk management, how can enterprise risk, how can I help get them there faster?
Welcome to Speaking Insurance, a weekly podcast where we talk with successful insurance and risk management professionals to gain some insight into their success and talk about the topics that are relevant to you. This is Speaking Insurance. Laura Langone is a Senior Director of Risk Management and Insurance at PayPal. She also serves as the chairperson of the Enterprise Risk Management Subcommittee for RIMS National. This interview was conducted at the RIMS 2016 conference. So, what made you decide to get into the risk management field?
So I was very interested in international relations and international business, and there was an opportunity to work in international underwriting with AIU. So I joined AIU at the time in Boston. I didn't know what insurance was, but I knew that I really liked understanding global issues, global laws and regulation, and meeting different people around the world.
So how did you even find out about risk management? How did you get into it as a career?
So, you know, the way I look at risk management, I really do look at it as a full circle, if you will. I mean, I look at, there's the insurance placement opportunity, there's the brokerage environment that engages with the client, and then of course there's the client, right? I do see it as full circle. I came in, obviously, in the insurance realm. I didn't really know my end customer necessarily. I knew the risk and the exposure. Clients like Nokia or L'Oreal were a lot of my clients. And so I understood the risk and understood what we were doing, committing financial assets. I didn't really know or engage with the people and understand the profession overall until I went into brokerage. And then I started getting closer to the risk management professional. And my opportunity came when I became an outsourced risk manager. So our clients would go on vacation or take a sabbatical in the Silicon Valley. We get sabbaticals. And I had the opportunity actually to sit in their shoes and work in their offices. And that was a great opportunity for me to really understand how risk management works, very different types of risk managers. And over the years, I've been able to look at those opportunities in risk management as what's right for me. What's the right environment for me? Where can I give my resources? Where can I give my expertise that's really going to benefit the company and also be of interest to me? Many different types of players, though, in risk management. I think that's what we're trying to look at now as well, is what is risk management for a risk management professional really mean?
So tell us what kind of professional organizations you belong to, being in the risk management profession.
So, well, I'm a licensed attorney as well. So, obviously, I belong to my state bar and associations affiliated with the legal realm. But I've always been engaged in risk management when I became a risk manager. And really, because this is, in the United States especially, one of the only organizations that has so many people associated with it, from insurance to brokerage to the risk management professional. It's the place for risk managers. So you either join them and help grow and help evolve, and that's what I wanted to do. So that's been my passion, and I've always been involved in the chapter level. So I got involved very early on in the Santa Clara chapter in the Bay Area. Now it's the Silicon Valley chapter. We rebranded it. And I took on different roles there, from membership to treasury to programming, you know, back to school night, just to engagement. And I also spoke when I was a broker, when I was a consultant. I actually went back in and offered my services in terms of bringing content. And that's how I really got to know RIMS.
So tell us a little bit about your educational background, because you have, it seems like, quite an extensive educational background.
So, yeah, well, started out, you know, BA in international relations and came out of school saying, well, what can I do with that, right? Thought about the CIA and then I joined AIG, so it all worked out well. From there, I worked, and then I did go to graduate school in Arizona, Thunderbird. It's an international program. I had the opportunity of going overseas with AIG. I worked in Paris, and everyone I worked with had a legal background. And those that were from America, from the United States, actually went. A lot of them went to Thunderbird. So it was sort of a natural progression for me to say, well, I'm going to get my master's. I'm going to go to Thunderbird. So I did that. Law school was always in my horizon. I had looked at law school as well. And so years later, when I got situated and was in one place, not traveling, then I attended law school, a night program. And I see I see the legal background as a fantastic background for the risk management environment. It is a legal contract everywhere except the United States. Underwriters actually are writing the contract still. It's not necessarily a pre-printed form like it is in the U.S. It is a contract. It is a legal document. And I think, you know, the more I look at, I talk to a lot of young professionals, and I often say, you know, go and get a legal career. You don't have to be an attorney. Come into risk management or go into insurance. I think it's just a great profession. International business school is great too. You know, now I see the trends. I was at a Spencer conference a couple of nights ago. What's amazing is that now we have degrees in risk management and insurance and in financing, all bringing it all together, which is fantastic. We actually have a lot of kids coming out of school saying, yes, I really want to be a risk manager. I want to do insurance. I mean, I was so excited about that. What a difference. You know, I didn't even know what it was. So
how do you feel like risk management has changed from what you've seen?
I think risk management really focused on doing the deal, right? Doing the risk transfer deal, putting the insurance program together, handling the claims, you know, traditional concepts of insurance. It has gone, you know, the other way in terms of a lot of risk managers now do have a seat at the table at the C-suite. They may be chief risk officers, they may not be, but you do have an opportunity to sit at the board level, at the C-suite, at the corporate dev development group, helping them think about risk, helping the conversation about why are we entering this country? Have you thought about this? I think we bring a lot of consultative skills that, you know, I think if you've got that background, you feel comfortable with that, you should be bringing that education to internally into your organization to help management think about these things. And I often think that we believe it's intuitive that it's happening. And it's not happening. When someone's got a great idea, oh, we want to enter Brazil, we're going to go to China, you know. Well, have we really thought about that upside? That's great. But what happens if it doesn't work out this way? And I don't mean to be a naysayer, but I think both sides, being able to have that conversation, if it grows exponentially, that's great. What does that mean for us in resources? What does that mean for us in other issues? As well as if it doesn't grow for us in the way we thought, what are those indicators? What did we think about? So concepts of enterprise risk, strategic risk management, risk financing, consultative skills, I think, are critical now. And I think that's what boards and management are looking for. And if you don't have some of those skills, then it could be an issue. I think that's a real area for us. I also think that the more management, and I'm in the Bay Area, so we have a lot of big companies with a lot of cash. And we have a lot of big companies with great credit, better credit than some of the insurance companies. So you hear treasurers, CFOs saying, well, why am I buying insurance? And as you see highly regulated companies too, like oil and banking, they've pharmaceutical, a lot of them have exited. They've either been forced to exit the insurance marketplace, or they've got a lot of money, they do it themselves, they bring it in-house. But again, it's the concept of risk management. It's not necessarily the risk transfer that's the most, you know, important to always, right? And as you look at your contracts and your insurance placement programs, you hope they're going to be there for you, but they're a little bit behind as well. They're not necessarily there for when we need them. So we know we need to do more in-house. So you need those risk management skills to help mitigate that risk, right? And I think that's key.
So how, in doing that, do you kind of prove your value as a risk manager day in and day out to the people you report to?
Yeah, for me, it's about, again, transparency. Am I helping to bring transparency for the risks that we're most concerned about to the organization? For the traditional hazard risks, am I doing my job of making sure I'm doing the right things there in terms of understanding what those issues are? Am I linking myself, my skills, et cetera, to the other folks within the organization that are managing risk so that we're efficient, we're cost effective, we get the information we need quickly? And then the other side is, am I helping with that conversation of where are we going, what's the growth opportunity, et cetera? The other thing that I think, you know, it depends on where you are in the organization, whether you're legal side or on the treasury side. I know a lot of risk managers report up through finance. You know, can you have a conversation on that economic cost of capital? What is the cost of that capital? What's the cost of your capital using that versus doing M&A or other types of things versus, you know, taking the risks? And as well as compared to offsetting that. Can you have that conversation on balance sheet protection? I think that's fundamental, something that we should be able to do.
Does that seem to paint the picture effectively at this point in time?
Yes, I think so. And I think, you know, decisions may be made for other reasons, but you can fall back. It's one decision. It's one indicator, right, to help make a decision. It may not be the one that you rely on. I've seen, for example, I'll give you an example where you can go into HR. Medical stop loss insurance is a common insurance. Many companies actually self-insure their medical losses, non-occupational. Well, that's a huge dollar spend. That's where someone in treasury risk management can come in and say, have you thought about how to look at this risk from a financial perspective? Where should we be buying the coverage or not? What's the best return on our investment? But the company may not feel totally, you know, sure about taking on all that risk. So it could be, okay, we're going to do this over time, but we think we're making the right choices. And then you come back to it, you know, over the year and look at that choice. Did I make the right choices? Does this make sense? If anything, you want to be able to document what you've done. You want to be able to bring that value. The company's going to take the risk they're going to take. You don't own the risk. That's one thing I've realized. Well, I try to own things and drive things. I don't own the risk. I own to bring the processes for looking at risk and making better decisions around risk.
That's a great point. So what do you feel like is your greatest risk management success that you've had in your career?
My biggest risk management success is truly being a consultant in companies like PayPal or Genentech. I was a risk manager at Juniper Networks. I have had the privilege to be able to go into organizations that are thinking about enterprise risk and really thinking out of the box and working on some great programs and projects. So for me, I've been happy that I could take my background and bring that into an environment. The other thing that I love is I do love working with RIMS. I mean, I've had a great opportunity here from a president chapter rising onto the board. I'm really excited about that and the next years, what that's going to bring in terms of helping to grow the risk management professional and expand RIMS internationally. I just think there's so much room for possibility in this field. And it took me those 20 plus years to realize that I actually really like what I'm doing. I really like risk management, right? So for me, that's just something you got to do what you like, right?
Absolutely. So you're in technology, right? So how does the technology sector view risk management?
It's an interesting question, and I think it depends who you talk to. So, you know, we have Uber's here. We have Gus, who's getting an award for the Risk Manager of the Year. You know, he might answer it differently. I think there is a central theme, though. It's that we're disruptive. Many of these companies are disruptive, and that's how tech is viewing the world. We want to be disruptive. You've heard some of the speakers today, young companies, they want to start their company online. They want to be disruptive. What does that mean? That means we're creating opportunities. We're creating markets, so we don't really necessarily know about those risks, right? The Uberization of everything. Well, what does that mean? Are you a transportation company, or are you truly an app? Are you a bank, or are you truly an app, right? We want to stay innovative. So innovation's key. And I think we talked about the themes at RIMS, innovation's key. We have to be innovative. That's the same thing for tech companies. And so when you're thinking about innovation, if you're thinking about risk management, that sort of goes against a lot, right? Because if you're not innovative, then you're not growing, and then you're managing a lot of risks, right? If you're innovative, you're taking a lot of risk. And so you have to really understand the barometer of where your organization is and what they're willing to do. Now, the other side of that is you have to say, how can insurance, how can risk management, how can enterprise risk, how can I help get them there faster? How can I help get them there and be more secure? So if we think about cyber issues, or my company just mentioned, well, we want to be in Cuba. Well, what does that mean? You know, where's the banking infrastructure? How do we think about these exposures? We got lots of operational people that are thinking about those issues, but we're innovative. So we're going to put that out there as to, hey, the new money is here. What's that new money look like, right? So innovative, but how do I support that? How do I help manage that risk return? And bring that insight into the business that's moving so fast.
All right, thanks, Laura. For more resources, visit thenationalalliance.com. If you have any comments on today's podcast, visit the National Alliance on LinkedIn and leave us a comment. This is Speaking Insurance.